This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
When you grow up into something your whole life, home is home, right? Home is home. Yeah, it is. It's very clean. As a matter of fact, here in Houston, everything about Houston reminds me of Toronto. Because, you know, I mean, at least just in my short time and in this part of the city, it's very clean. You know, stores and places are sort of like spaced apart, and it's very similar to Toronto. I'm used to coming to the States, just not this part of the States. I'm usually like in New York and the Bronx and the real ghetto, you know? So you get a very opposite image of the States when you visit that part. Crowded, congested, things are, you know, old and run down, at least the parts where I visit. But here it was like very different. Even my wife doesn't believe when I tell her. I was like, it's so clean, the houses are nice, the buildings are clean, it's very different. But I still, yeah, don't come to Toronto. Like move to Toronto, no. Yeah, it's one of those things where over time it just changed and it's becoming more difficult. And I guess it's like that all over the world, right? But anyhow, does anybody have any questions about anything we've been chatting about thus far? You know, it's really nice. Some of you are still asking questions about last night's subject, which is very good. I don't think that a lecture can do justice to the topic. The course that I wrote on gender relations, I teach it in 2 days for 16 hours. It's a very, very, you know, large and comprehensive subject. And so your questions definitely are welcoming. If you still do have some questions, we will have about 15 minutes or so, maybe 20 minutes after we're done today. So if you want to talk about that or something that we've discussed here, فليتفضل, no problem, inshallah. Okay, yalla, shall we, students? Yalla, bismillah. If you could ask Allah for something in Jannah, what would you ask for? What's the first thing that pops to your mind if you would ask Allah for something? Everything, mashallah, this boy has fiqh in him. See that? Kullu shay, everything, right? Go ahead. Very good. To see loved ones who have passed away. Anything else? Yep. You would ask for it. Ask Allah, let me be amongst the prophets. Let me be. Good, yeah. Because all the ice cream is there, right? Yeah. In Jannah, you got it already. What else would you ask Allah for? Pardon me? Say marriage? Guidance. Oh, okay. I don't know how I heard marriage, but guidance, okay. Ferrari and rail racing? Goat road racing. Oh, okay. Goat racing. That's what happens when you have the third coffee for the day. Yes, sister, go ahead.
To see him.
To see Allah. Inshallah, we will all see Allah. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّي. Remember that ayah at the end of Surah Al-Kahf? Liqa, whoever hopes to meet Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said liqa here generally means in person. When you say I'm going to have liqa, which is literally a meeting, it has to happen in person. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّي. Whoever has this hope in them that they will meet their master, Allah. Meaning, these same eyes will look at him, inshallah. Amazing. So we are on that path, and it's just up to us to stay on that path sincerely. And inshallah ta'ala. Yeah, I think about that a lot. Imagine you get to see Allah in his true form. I don't even know how to internalize what that would feel like, because we don't have the capacity to do so. But you see Allah in His true form, which is a greater, far more superior reward than all of Jannah put together. Right? May Allah give all of us that. Allahumma ameen. Okay, so I asked this question because of this verse. Hold on, let me see if I can adjust that. There we go. Okay, there we go. You guys all know this this verse. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. I added two more. Okay, I'll get to the translation in a second. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. This is my favorite, one of my favorite words in the entire Quran. نُزُلَ نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ. Okay. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. So, what has happened here? Surely those who say, our Lord is Allah and that we remain steadfast. So the first part of our shahada, we say Allah is our master. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Then we live the life. We live our life that Allah is in charge. You know how you do that? It's been everything that we've been talking about. It's all the trust, it's the taqwa, it's the reliance, it's the connection. I will pause my day at least bare minimum 5 times for Allah. Why? Because I want to uphold what I have in my heart, that I acknowledge and I affirm that Allah is my master. I am His slave. You know what's amazing about reminding yourself you're a slave to Allah? If I call you a slave, it's the most humiliating thing in the world. But when Allah calls us His slave, it's the greatest honor. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. So honored to be Allah's slave. So when Allah says that He is our Rabb, we submit to ourselves, yes, oh Allah, You are our master. We live our life exemplifying that. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. This ayah is talking about moments before our death. Literally, everybody is surrounding you and I, and we are about to die. The person's about to die, moments before their death. Allah sends down an army of angels. These angels, they're coming with good news because why? Of how the ayah started. You live this kind of life, you remain steadfast, so the angels come and descend upon him. Malaika, not just one angel, a whole army of them. Some of the ulama, they say, you can actually see the reaction of the deceased if you happen to be standing in front of them when they see these angels. Those of you who might have been like next to somebody and watched and experienced them die, like literally watched them die in front of you. Do you recall there was a moment when the deceased did this moments before they died? They might have been like sort of half asleep and then they did this. And they looked around. That's what some of our scholars say when their eyes open and it's fixated in a spot or in an area, and they look, they see these angels coming. It's one of the few physical signs that someone's is going to die at that very moment. It's one of the very few. Has anybody seen this? Yeah, I'm sure there will be some of you. I've seen it many times. My own family and friends and so on, many times. As recently as just a few months ago, I buried one of my closest aunts, and the same thing, right there. She looked around. You know, she died with cancer, so she was literally paralyzed in her bed for months. And she just sort of breathed. And I said, SubhanAllah. What am I going to do when my turn comes? SubhanAllah. So Allah says, when they come, these angels, you know, it's sad, it's a lot of pain, This ayah at least helps us to get a glimpse that it's actually a great moment for the deceased. Because these angels come and they say two things. Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu. Don't be afraid and don't be sad. Why is the deceased giving reassurance? Don't be afraid and don't be sad. Because scholars, they say, they're afraid because now they know they are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are sad because they know that they are going to separate from their loved ones. And this is why one of the sisters mentioned that to see your loved ones again. I also think about the same thing. One of the things I would ask Allah is, oh Allah, I would like to see my aunt again. Maybe for some of you, my mom, my dad, my children. Oh Allah, share with me the secrets of the Quran. You said alif lam mim. Oh Allah, can you tell me what it really means? Like when you think about what it is that you want from Allah, think about something that is personal to you. And I'm not pulling this out of left field. It's actually part of the verse, and I'm going to come to it in a moment, okay? وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ So two reassurances, and look, congratulations. Rejoice in the good news of paradise. Congratulations, أَبْشِرُوا. You got Jannah. أَلَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ It's the Jannah you've been promised this whole time. Congratulations, you did it. That is why our scholars unanimously say that when somebody gets the glad tidings of أَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ they will never, ever want to come back in this world. Because instead, they will hope to reunite with their loved ones in the Akhirah. So those of you who have loved ones that you are longing to meet inshallah, and that Allah has accepted them from amongst His righteous, they don't want to come back to this world. Don't wish for them to be back here. They're waiting for you and me. There's a better life there. And because this is how they were welcomed in the Akhirah, of course they want you there. They want you there. So may Allah reunite us with our loved ones in Jannah. Allahumma ameen. It's not done. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ These angels say, we were your supporters. We were awliya, your wali. We took care of you. We were fighting off all these shayateen with you. Because why? You had this. رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ We were with you. فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ The worldly life and in the hereafter. We're going to support you even in the hereafter. We're going to be with you even in the Akhirah. We're going to be with you in Jannah. We're going to be with you on the Day of Judgment. When it's time and Allah says, congratulations now, go to Jannah. The angels will come around each of us inshallah. Many of them. سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا صَبَرْتُمْ فَنِعْمَ عُقُبَ الدَّارِ They'll be flapping their wings. And they will say, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ Like, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ Peace be unto you, protection be unto you. For being so patient, look at the ending you get. So, it's a rough world, man. A lot to endure. A lot of pain in this world. At all levels. Angels come and say, Salaam, welcome, you did it. You hung on. You hung on. Despite the whole world was telling you, go this way. You were like, no, I'm staying right here. You lost your parents, you lost your children, your family, your friends, your relatives. The pain, your heart got cut in a million pieces and you didn't even put it together. You left it open in a million pieces and you stayed here. Congratulations, you did it. Well done. There's your family waiting for you in Jannah. Go. May Allah grant all of us that. Allahumma ameen. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ This is where I get the question here. I get it from this part of the ayah. Two things you get to ask for in Jannah. There's two ways you get to ask for things in Jannah. Number one is tashtahi, ishtiha'un. That's this word here. That means you collectively ask. All of us here have things that we would collectively ask Allah for. Peace, happiness, guidance, love, security. These are things we all collectively as a creation, we will want Allah to bless us with here and in the Akhirah. So that takes care of the first one. But then the second one, and there you will have whatever you ask for. So I'm going to ask you again. What is the thing that you want from Allah? That if Allah said, Fatima, Maryam, Muhammad, Ahmed, tell me what you want. And think about that question. Imagine that. It's just you and Allah, and He's asking you, just what's on your mind? Ask me, and I'll give it to you. What would you ask Allah for? And there's so many things I would ask Allah for. But I can tell you that somebody who, you know, my passion is studying Quran and studying tafsir and all of this stuff, right? And the thing that I often think about is the secrets of Quran that we will never know. That's what I would ask Allah for first and foremost. Like, oh Allah, tell me why Surah Tawbah doesn't have Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Like, what's the real reason why you didn't do that? Because there are 9 opinions why. So nobody really knows at the end. Well, Allah, why did you exclude that surah? You know, the secrets in between. Allah, what does this ayah really mean? That's what I often think about. I also think about, you tell me if you think about this too. Oh Allah, let me meet that first Muslim in my entire family that started all of this. That first person that took the shahada, the first person, I want to meet him or her. And I just want to say thank you to them. What do you think about? You don't have to answer. I just want you to have that in you. Why? So that you can do this. Nuzulam min ghafurur rahim, an accommodation from the all-forgiving and merciful. Okay. Nuzul, remember this word. It's used in 2 ways in the Quran. One way, it's talking about Jahannam. In another way, it's talking about Jannah. So it's talking about both extremes it's used for. This ayah and ayat like this, it's about Jannah. So what is a nuzul? When you go to a restaurant, they usually bring you some appetizers, or there's some like bread and or tea or water or what have you, right? The main course, you know what's happening in the kitchen somewhere. You can probably smell it too. And you're like, man, this is, wow, wonder what's going on back there. And then when it comes out to you, then you're like, you want to make sajda right on the table, because like this is above and beyond. So think of nuzul this way. Nuzul is the appetizer. So that means everything you and I know about Jannah, all the hadith you've ever read, all the ayah you've ever known, is just an appetizer. The main course of Jannah, nobody knows. If you still haven't like registered that, let me give you an example. The Prophet ﷺ said, one shade of a tree in Jannah, there will be a horse that will run around this shade. And it will take that horse 500 years to make one circle. Prophet ﷺ said, the cement between the bricks that are, you know, that keep these structures and palaces and so on together, is musk perfume. Each brick is made out of solid gold or silver. There is no dust or dirt in Jannah. It's all saffron flowers. No one will go to the bathroom. No one will perspire or sweat. All of that filth doesn't exist. If you think of something in Jannah, you don't go searching for it. It finds you. So if you think about, I want like a real nice mango, the mango tree bows down to you and you pick. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says that the fruits of Jannah share one thing in this world, only the name. So there's a banana in Jannah, but the banana is not the same as this one. It's a totally different thing. فِيهَا مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ. So there's things in Jannah your eyes have never seen. وَلَا أُذُنًا سَمِعَتْ. Your ears have never heard. وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. And your hearts can't comprehend. By the way, that sentence that I just said in Arabic, that hadith of our Prophet ﷺ, that's the only sentence we know of Al-Firdaus. So everything I just told you about the description of Jannah are all the levels of Jannah. Al-Firdaus al-A'la, only one sentence we know about it. In it, there are things the eyes have never seen, ears have never heard, the hearts can't comprehend. That's all we know. So all of that, what does Allah say? Oh, that's just the appetizer. The real rewards of Jannah is when you get there, you'll see, inshallah. Unreal, unbelievable. Everything you know about Jannah is just an appetizer. The opposite, as I said to you, is also true. Everything you know about the Jahannam, Prophet ﷺ says that the insects of Jahannam will be the size of camels. Okay? A scorpion will be the size of a camel, so on and so forth, right? A sting of one insect will remain with the inhabitants of the Jahannam for 40 years. If somebody were to drop an item from the top of Jahannam to the bottom where the munafiqun are, it will take over 90 years to reach the bottom. There's only one source of food. Does anybody know what it is in Jahannam? One source. What is it? No. You've been watching The Walking Dead, huh? Yeah. Yes. Shajaratu Zaqum, the tree of Zaqum. So, scholars lay this out, by the way. So just follow my hands for a second. So there are seven levels of Jahannam. Goes like this, like stairs, and they kind of come till you reach to the seventh and they meet at the bottom. The tree in its roots is at the bottom. And as it grows, all of its branches extend to each level. And each of the fruits and items that you bear from this tree and the inhabitants come to carries a face and a live head of shaitan. So the inhabitant is terrified just looking at the fruit. Then when they bite into it, it's filled with, you know, a lot of awful things, inflammation and pus and all. Like, these are explicit hadith. These words, I'm not just throwing it out. They're explicit words from hadith describing the effects even of how the person digests their food in Jahannam. All of this has been laid out. And at the end of the day, all of that Allah says is just a nuzul. The real punishments of the Jahannam, nobody knows until they're there. May Allah never ever allow us to be from amongst them. Okay. Allahumma ameen. I don't want to know what appetizers are in Jahannam. I don't even want to think about that. So may Allah protect all of us from that. So, nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. Why is this ayah here? Why did I choose it? Well, it's very simple. When you have a goal and something to strive for here, it encourages you. It pushes you. Those days where you get tired and exhausted and you know you can do what you wanted, what you need to do, it encourages you. So if the thing that's driving you, that you're hoping that Allah will give you, is to see your family again, I want to see my mom, I want to see my dad, and so on and so forth, it encourages you that you're working for it. You're not just gonna, that's all you want. No, you're gonna work for that. So this is why experts, you know, the Tony Robbins of the world and so on, they charge thousands of dollars to train people how to set these goals for themselves and to concentrate and focus on them. And Allah is just telling us in the Quran, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. You'll get whatever you ask for. What are you thinking about? And that's what concentrate on that. And not only are you gonna get that, but that's just the intro. I'll give you the real reward based on what you want once you get there, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, ayah number 8. The best of you are those that bring the greatest benefits to many others. It's a hadith of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Surah Al-Fath, Muhammadur Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Pause. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Okay, straightforward. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fine. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. Now, why did I put this ayah here? One of the most misunderstood, abused verses in the Quran. This verse. Abused verses. You know, I have another course where I teach 75 of the most abused verses in the Quran. And so this is definitely one of them. And this is where the ayah gets abused, right here. And those with him are firm with the disbelievers. Right there. Stop there. The word that's used is ashidda, from shidda. Shidda means to be real, real strict. It's almost as if it's encouraging you, don't be polite, don't smile, just don't be nice to the kuffar. Do you see how quickly you can go to Mars if you don't understand this ayah properly? Yeah. You'll be gone. That's why you see, this is one of the misunderstandings that leads to, you know, young people, but even young adults as well, they become really extreme, they become radicalized, and they develop this sort of attitude with Islam that, you know, anybody who isn't with us is like, we are far superior, and you're just, ugh, look at these people, ugh, look at these, look at almost all this kuffar everywhere, man, there's so much kuffar everywhere. I don't even talk to the kuffar. I don't even have one cat like that. So, that's why I put this ayah here. First and foremost, how do you explain this? Because it's pretty clear. Ashidda'a ala al-kuffar. Ala here, they were those companions that was with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were really strict on these kuffar. So, who is Allah talking about here? The kuffar in this ayah was speaking about the group that was constantly persecuting the Prophet ﷺ, threatening and waging war and battle against Muslims. So, Battle of Badr is done in Mecca. They leave Mecca, Muslims left Mecca, they go to Medina. As soon as they arrive, 3 years later, what happened? The Battle of which? Uhud. Battle of Uhud happens. 70 plus companions are literally slaughtered. But how did the Battle of Uhud start? Because the mushrikun of Mecca could not stand the fact that we're stronger than them, we're more powerful than them, and they were victorious over us. Our reputation is on the line, our image is on, our honor, and. No. We're gonna go find them in Medina now. So Muslims are just minding their business, just sitting there quietly. They get news, they've mobilized, they're coming. And the Prophet ﷺ is like, oh man, what do we do? He didn't say, you know what? Let's just make dua, okay guys? He got himself together. He mobilized 1,000 of the Muslims of Medina and. The point here is this. He had to respond in a way that was firm because this particular group that this ayah is making reference to is a constant threat, not to just their livelihood and their overall well-being, to their lives, just to be able to stay alive and just be Muslim. So that's when this surah was revealed. And Surah Al-Fath was directly linked when Mecca was conquered. Okay, it was directly linked to when men. So the point is, a battle is linked to the surah. Again, because Muslims just wanted to go into Mecca, they just wanted to perform their umrah and their hajj, but it wasn't going to come that easy. They were still going to get persecuted, they were still going to be killed, they were still going to be targeted just because they were Muslim. Students, does it feel like this ayah just got revealed in 2022? Subhanallah. Feels like this ayah is just as relevant today as it was when it was revealed. Just because they were Muslim. May Allah give us strength. and protect our brothers and sisters and give them patience, resilience, and keep them steadfast. Allahumma ameen. You all know what I'm talking about. From around the world, our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted just because of their faith, being driven out of their homes, their land, their villages, their communities, just because of who they are. May Allah give them strength. May Allah give them patience. May Allah keep them steadfast. Allahumma ameen. Ruhama'u bainahum. Look, ashidda'a al kuffar. So now you know what kuffar is and where who it's referring to. But look what Allah concludes with. Ruhama'u bainahum. And compassionate with one another. So who's this talking about? The same group. So what? Put it all together. If you're being persecuted, yeah, you've got to be firm. You've got to respond. You've got to defend. But when all is said and done, the kafir that's your neighbor, you don't have to be a shidda to that to that neighbor, your classmate, your professor, your teacher, your colleague. That's not what the ayah is talking about. Because look, ruhama'u bainahum, from amongst them, however, bainahum here means when you're living all together peacefully and in harmony, you're together. Bainahum, you're literally intertwined with each other, meaning you're living in the same village, the same community, the same street, the same city. What do you have to have? Rahmah. Be nice to your neighbors. So you have the two opposite messages in the same ayah to what appears like it's the same audience, but it isn't. One is an extreme, and the other is everyone else. So anybody who says to you now, oh, look what Allah says, you know, you gotta be real strict to the kuffar, you gotta be real this and that. Buddy, keep reading. Ruhama'u bainahum. It's from the sunnah to be pleasant and kind. And by the way, Allah didn't say to have good etiquettes. He said ruhama, rahma. What did we say rahma was? In a nutshell, you're doing more than you need to. You go the extra mile. So you're not ordered to just be nice to the non-Muslim. You're ordered to, if you can and whenever, you go the extra mile. Show really what Islam is. You know, hotel I'm staying at, right? When I come down, I look like this, right? So then coming down, and there was a couple, just like a non-Muslim couple. And as soon as I came down, I see my ride, I'm just dum dum dum, and I could feel it. The eyes are like. And they were all we were all walking towards the exit at the same time. So I remember this. And I said, and I literally stood back and I was like, please, please, go ahead. And this turned into, thank you so much. Oh, that's lovely of you. That sort of thing, right? I said, go ahead. See that extra rahmah? Like, I could have just went and be like, thank you, okay, and just mind my business and go. No, that's fine. But the extra mercy, if you'd call it, is when you take a step back, it's like, no, go ahead. Not, go ahead, you miskeen child, may Allah guide you, go. No. Just go ahead, because why? Go the extra mile. That's what makes you different. That's what makes us believers. You go that extra mile. You do that extra thing. I'll tell you one simple thing that you can do all the time, and it's, inshallah, easy for all of you. You know, when you go get a coffee or something at wherever, Dunkin' Donuts or what have you? I was going to say Timmy's, but astaghfirullah, right? Whatever your local coffee shop or whatever, you right? Make it a habit once in a while. Pay for the car behind you. Leave that deed between you and Allah. Just do it. Drive away. Don't be like, okay, I'm paying for the car behind me. Turn on the camera and let's see what the reaction is, okay? And then he's driving and you're slowly exiting and you're looking and you're looking if they're going to wave or something. Leave it for Allah. Drive away and go. You know, this happened to me one time where somebody paid for me. You know, we were both going into the drive-thru together and it looked like somebody had to make up their mind. So I stopped and I said, go ahead. And she was like, and she drove it. She paid for me. I never saw her again. She literally drove out, gone. And I said, subhanAllah, man. You know, those are the moments you may never see that person for the rest of your life. But Allah will probably show you that person on the Day of Judgment. Allah will remind you that, you know, the khair that people did for you, how'd you internalize it? How'd you accept it? Were you grateful? How were you grateful? You just kept your gratitude to yourself? No. Oh Allah, I bought something for somebody else. I did the same thing for someone else in my own way. So find those moments where you can really just do something real simple, real easy, and try to concentrate on the everyday things that people do. So whether it's buying coffee, hold a door open for somebody, smile. Those little things, really, really important to achieve ruhama'u bainahum, okay? Ayah number 9. The spiritual lifeline of our iman is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we're coming towards the end. So these are the verses that I've intentionally chose to kind of steer us towards the end. Of the verses that every Muslim should be reminded of and know, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 41, Udhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Well, believers always remember Allah often. Here's the thing. Scholars, they say, when you're struggling with your deen in any way, in any form, in any capacity, go back and assess how often do you make the dhikr of Allah. And that will tell you why you're struggling. So go back to last night's conversation and navigating through that subject. This will give you all the gender relation guidance you need. Your personal development, your heart. How do you keep your heart on the straight path? Fill it with this. Dhikra, but kathira, lots of it. So what's an example of dhikr, students? Shout it out to me. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa bi. And even if you don't know the Arabic, oh Allah, forgive me, Ya Rabb, forgive me, Ya Rabb, forgive me, Ya Rabb. There is no deity worthy of worship but you. Ya Allah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illa ant. You know, one of the students who study abroad like myself, Sheikh Waleed and all of us who've gone abroad, we'll always say the same thing. The real blessing of studying abroad was not being in the University of Medina or Mecca. That wasn't the real blessing. That was a blessing. But you know what the real blessing was? The real thing that shifted our lives and brought us to this point was that we got to watch and sit with ulama who are like no other on this planet. I had a professor. I used to watch him a lot, like some sort of creepy guy at the back of the classroom, right? I used to watch this man. His lip would always, when he wasn't being asked something or what he didn't see, just. So being the guy that I am, I wanted to spy. So as the days went by, come a little earlier, get closer and closer, because I want to hear, what's he doing? And I heard it. Changed my whole life. That's not something you learn out of books. You see how ulama, and you know, the Sheikh, very well known, has his own lecture in the Haram, Mecca and Medina, both, has over 5,000 students sitting in his classroom at a time, in his lectures. And I've never seen anything like this in my life. And that was it. Like, that was one of many moments where, yes, when I'm walking or I'm driving alone, if I'm not listening to something, change lanes. Change lane again, turn around, say, hey, wa alaykum as-salam. I promise you, not me, I'm nobody. Allah promises you and the Prophet ﷺ promises, your whole life will change. Oh my God. Your whole life, your attitude, every moment of your life just calms down. A tornado will just feel like a cool breeze. You know, metaphorically, like, you'll be in the midst of chaos and everybody will be like, how are you so calm? You just buried your son and you're saying, alhamdulillah, like, you're like, alhamdulillah, Allah gave me, Allah took him back. How are you doing that? It's because you have this. This is one of the things that is missing in the average day-to-day Muslim, by the way. We don't do a lot of this. And, you know, sometimes it is our fault, and sometimes it isn't. I get it. You know, we're consumed. So much things that pull our brains in different directions. And if it's not that, your eyes and your ears is always focused on everything else except that. So you have to literally discipline and shift your mindset to concentrate on that. So I get it, it's not easy. However, Allah said, اُذْكُرُ اللَّهِ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا, and then ayah continues, وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا, and make tasbih with him in the morning and in the night. So last point I'll mention with this. Think of dhikr like this, okay? Because like I said, I know it's difficult. Dhikr is like bookshelves in your brain, okay? You have ayat and hadith and all the knowledge of Islam you've learned. They're all stored in bookshelves. Dhikr is when you take a book off the shelf and you open it. So think of it that way. Like I just need to remember, I need to recite something, I need to remind myself of something. So let me pull it out of my head and let me open it, repeat it a little. And you'll find your appetite here starts to grow. And this is why our Prophet ﷺ, all the companions said, we would see him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would be constantly saying things quietly. This is what he was doing, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Never would sit there and just twirl his finger. Hey, Ibn Abbas, what's going on? Nothing. Always, la ilaha illa ant subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin, la hawla, all the du'as. Which leads me to the last and final ayah. The only creation of Allah that whispers directly to your heart. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. So before I tell you about this, the dhikr of Allah, one last point that I want you to remember, students, okay? You know, I've been honored to be with you for the last couple days. If this is one thing you can make me feel like I did something for you, take this one thing, okay? If everything else was just information or you need to go back to it later, fine. But please remember this one thing. So I can walk away and just say, Alhamdulillah, you know, Allah, I really hope I left something with them. There is a word in the Quran called al-bab. Comes from the word lubbun. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, right? Al-bab or lubbun refers to رَجُلٌ بِعَقْلٍ صَالِحٍ, somebody who has a sound and clear mind. So if you want to be someone that is making dhikr of Allah, here is the best way to develop that habit. Get garbage out of your brain. Eliminate useless information. Let me just pause, huh? Because I'm assuming this is being recorded. Okay. Let me just pause for a second. You guys can record and watch all the technical things that happen. So I'm gonna be really dramatic about this, okay? Just for the camera. It's not working if I'm laughing at the same time. So lubun, right? So, can you guys hear me?
No.
Guys, yeah. Okay, one second. Maybe they will turn this on. La ilaha illallah.
Yeah.
Okay. May Allah guide you. I mean, alhamdulillah. You know, I kind of get like these, like with, oh my God. I started to like get these like withdrawal symptoms now when I get to the end of a course, because I know that I'm coming towards the finish line. I don't know, man. I don't know if it's a good habit or not. I start like going to different planets and talking about random things. I remember one time I was teaching marriage and divorce, and by the time we got to the last,
we were talking about ice cream. And we were talking about all our favorite ice cream. And we were still like in the iddah and the waiting period. And somehow I was like, subhanAllah, man, after this course, a nice ice, I snapped my fingers and a nice ice cream would be so. And we went on this tangent on ice cream for about 20 minutes. So if that happens to me, guys, give me an indication, say, Sheikh, you know, so I get back to where I'm supposed to be, okay? Okay, let's go one more.
Is this better?
Nothing, huh? Okay. I'm okay. Okay, go ahead. Because you guys can still hear me, right? But we're recording, that's the thing. So let's just talk about jinns in the meantime. Do you think it could be connected? And just suddenly all the mic system just shuts down? Are there any others with us? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان. I used to be an exorcist, you know that, right? Like a full-time exorcist for 2 years. Yeah, I used to take jinns out of people for 2 years, full-time. Yeah, 100%. You really want to know why I stopped? No, because then all of you guys are going to leave. No, all jokes aside, a jinn was following me to all of my classes. And he would, no, I don't want to say it because you guys are going to leave or I'll never be invited again. On a serious note, he would come and possess a student in the classroom. So when I started to see the pattern, one day I was in a Toronto masjid and I saw a student calm, relaxed, and I started to do my thing. Then all of a sudden, his whole demeanor changed, and he was like this. And he got evil all from head to toe. So I stopped the class, and I said, turn off the camera. And everybody was sitting like you. And I said, and I looked at him, and I said, who are you? And then he responded in Arabic. So I said, هل أنت من الجن? So I said, are you from the jinn? He says, yes, and don't stop me from learning. So I told everybody to leave. And I left the student, one, myself and then a few brothers helped me, right, to restrain. So I said, what are you doing here? So, Lubbun, see, that's how you guys invite me again. If you want to know the rest of the story, inshallah. Look, I'll finish this, and then I'll finish the story. I seriously don't promise that, okay? Anyhow, no, I'll finish the story, promise, inshallah, okay? Let me just finish this last point, and then I'll give you the story. What kind of can of worms did I open up, huh? Okay, guys, do this. Lubun, okay? So you reset your face, because some of you are like, oh my God. Okay. Lubbun, we said, is to get out useless information out of our hearts, out of our minds. You know, like the music, the backbiting, the soap operas, the TV, the social media. I'm not saying to stop social media, stop TV, unhook your cable, and that's it now. What I'm saying to you is sift out the garbage that comes with that package. Sift all of that out. Then, and only then, you will accommodate dhikr. Then it'll have a place to go. Because if you don't do that, you know what ends up happening with Qur'an? What ends up happening with dhikr? You hear it and you're like, oh, mashallah, that's so good. And then you leave the masjid and it's gone. Got it? So you want this to stay with you. You want it to resonate. And you want it to lead to something else. And I can guarantee you, all of us living in this part of the world where we're always, you know, tugged and pulled in a direction that is designed to just waste your time. You know, you'll watch like a game for 4 hours. You'll watch like sports and you'll talk about who's the greatest basketball player and blah, blah, blah. And you're debating this stuff and you're like, who cares? You know, when you just stop and like, why are we talking about this for like 25 minutes? So when you start like pinpointing those moments in your life, you sift it out. That's called lubbun. Now you become from albab. Now you can become from people who have a clear, sound mind. So useless information has been cleaned up. Now useful information has a place to resonate. Got it? Finally, alladhi, does anybody have a question? It was in Surah Ali Imran, close towards the end. The ayah number, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ, it is ayah number 190 in Surah Ali Imran, which is the third chapter, verse number 190, okay? And finally, الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. You know why I end with this? Because that's what Allah ended with. Right? 6,000 plus verses. The last ayah Allah left you and me with was this. Why? الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. The one who whispers, meaning, after all is said and done, you will have to battle him, the jinn. You will have to continue your battle in life, warding off the waswasa, the whisper, the temptation of the jinn. I'm not saying you're going to blame all your mistakes on jinns. No. What I am saying to you is, you'll be on cruise control now in a good place, but you'll still have to ward off those jinns. So your fajr now went from once in a while, now it became steady. For 1 month, it was on time. 2 months, 3 months. Then all of a sudden, that fourth month, you just went back down, missed it for 6 days straight, and you're like, what in the world? الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. The sleep just felt better in the fourth month. You know, the sleep just got deeper. So you're like, oh man. So the knots that he's been tying down on my face really got tighter now. I gotta fight him out. I gotta fight back. I gotta go back to this again. Remember that the jinns and shayateen is the only creation of Allah that allowed, that he allowed, that when he whispers, he goes where? Goes right to your heart. Not even angels do that. It is only the jinn that goes right up to your heart and just starts tempting you. So even if you don't do the wrong, your heart's doing it. Like you're feeling it and you're thinking about it. And you're like, what if and what if? You know, I talk to a lot of young people, they're like, man, if I wasn't Muslim, I'd have a couple piercing. I'd have that tattoo. Like it's almost like, subhanAllah, if this Islam thing didn't get in the way, then I would have. So that's all from waswasa. Making your journey in Islam feel like you're such an outcast, you stick out like a sore thumb because you have this thing on your head and you look different, you act different, you gotta read ingredients on everything you buy, you have to always the disclaimer, could you please tell me on the item what has alcohol, what doesn't, and you've gotta do all this extra homework, this extra talking, and. You can't just live because you're warding off this guy. You're warding off the jinns. You're keeping that temptation far away as much as possible. Amongst jinn and mankind. And so in conclusion, students, I leave you with this parting message that after all is said and done, just remember that at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still left us on this earth. We are still alive. We are still here. And it is a sign that we all have what it takes to carry the message of the Quran. You understand, students? Like at the end of the day, it's rough. But when Allah says, لَا تَمُوتُنْ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, like don't die unless you're Muslim. Allah didn't say, except when it's 2022, well, you know, I'll make some exceptions. No, even now, don't leave this world unless you're Muslim. You know, it's amazing to me, Allah didn't say, لَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنُونَ. He said, Muslimun. Remember, Muslim is on the outside. Mu'min is here. So Allah is saying, at least bare minimum, act and behave like a Muslim before death finds you. So you could be on your phone and just looking at something, or you could just be like talking to somebody you shouldn't, and death is gonna come to you now. And death will be like, oh, wait a minute, you're talking to her? I'll come back when you're in Sajda on Jumu'ah and take your soul then. No rain checks. I'll come back when you're reading Quran on your Quran app instead. Once it finds you, it finds you. So what does Allah say? The bare minimum, at least live and act like a Muslim. And this is our challenge. Allah said that shaytan, وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ ضَعِيفًا. The shayateen, they're weak. The strongest tool that shaytan has is fear. See how some of you reacted when I brought up the jinn story? Some of you were like, oh my God, yes, right? And then some of you, you reacted in a way, ooh, subhanAllah, oh my God. See that reaction? That's where Hollywood now commercialized and really took advantage, and the Paranormal Activity and the Exorcist movies started coming out one after one. Because why? Fear breeds money. And fear also breeds vulnerability. When you're scared of something, if you're not strong enough to ward it off, what ends up happening? You fall right into it. I don't want nothing to bother me, so whatever. Just go with the flow. So I leave you with this, students, and I conclude that I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of these ayat that we have been honored and privileged to look at and study to an extent, that they uplift us, that they inspire us. And at the end of the day, we ask Allah to just make us better people in a way that He's pleased with, right? Our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, everything in this world is cursed except three things. عَالِمًا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ وَعَالِمًا أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمًا. Except three things. The remembrance of Allah is exempted from Allah's curse. وَمَا وَلَاهُ, and the thing that helps you to remember Allah. وَعَالِمًا أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمًا, or the scholar or the student of knowledge. The point that I want to make is at the end of the hadith, he highlighted scholar or student of knowledge. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ knows that not everybody is going to be a scholar, but everybody can be a student of Islam. That's where we are. You know, that's where we are. We're all students of Allah. So we pray that He accepts us, that at least Allah sees in our hearts and in our lives that we are putting forth the effort and we are trying to be the best Muslims that we can be in a way that He's pleased with. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunites us in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la fi maq'adi sidqin 'inda malikin muqtadir, in a place that is close to Him, in a place that is honorable, that is dear to Him. Allahumma ameen. Students, I conclude with a short dua that may Allah azza wa jalla accept from us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our salawat, our ruku', our sujood. May Allah azza wa jalla accept from us our adhkar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our efforts. May Allah bring sincerity, purity, taqwa, tawakkul, all of the qualities that we strive for and we hope for and we do our best to implement in our hearts and in our lives. May Allah azza wa jalla preserve those qualities in our hearts, in our lives, always and forever. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us and honor us to leave this world with the last and final words on our tongue of the shahada of la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan, and thank you all for allowing me to grace your community. Thank you to the organizers. Thank you to everybody here. There's a reason why you are the community that I have visited the most out of all the communities I've gone to around the world. It's only Houston here is the one that I've visited. I think one community I visited twice. You, mashallah, I think this is the third time now I've been here. And I don't know what Allah has in store for us, but I hope it is a relationship that one day all of us are sitting in Jannah under a tree and we're gonna talk about this moment. Be like, yeah, you remember when you taught us about the dhikr of Allah? Yeah, I implemented that in my life actually, and that's how Allah honored me here. And we'll talk about these moments inshaAllah ta'ala in al-firdaus al-a'la. So thank you. Jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Allahumma ameen. And I look forward to being with you and seeing you again in the near future. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And no, I did not forget about the jinn story, okay? So we'll come to it in a second.